The sermonette today is entitled The Validity of Scripture. The Validity of Scripture. In 2004, the Roman Catholic Church in the United Kingdom produced a paper to present in Rome entitled The Gift of Scripture. These are some brief comments on this subject that I took from the Ecclesia website. The headline was, Catholics encouraged to give emphasis to the Bible. It then went on to say the following, Roman Catholics throughout Britain are being encouraged to reaffirm the Bible as foundational for their faith and to make its critical appreciation a key part of their discipleship and church identity. The gift of Scripture provides an explanation of Catholic teaching on the Bible. The 60-page booklet outlines the basic principles by which it is interpreted and gives guidance on some difficult questions which arise. That was from the Catholic Communications Network. Four books of the Bible came in for some heavy criticism: Genesis, Exodus, Proverbs, and Revelation. On page 27 of their document, when talking about the book of Exodus, they state that the entry into the promised land is seen as a fulfillment of the divine promise, but the narratives raise serious theological questions. The book of Proverbs does not escape their criticism. They say some proverbs are profound and weighty, while others are somewhat trivial. Then, of course, there's the book of Revelation. Now, why am I not surprised that this gets their criticism? Maybe they don't like the description of themselves in this book. They say on page 48, such symbolic language must be respected for what it is and not be interpreted literally. We should not expect to discover in this book details about the end of the world. In the Times newspaper at that time, the religious correspondent observed that the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church in the United Kingdom has published a teaching document instructing the faithful that some parts of the Bible are not actually true. Now, we produced a question and answer in January 2006 where the question was, in the Bible, God gives specific instructions and commandments, but weren't Paul's writings driven by the prevailing culture of the time? The question was thoroughly answered, and in this answer, a statement from an Anglican bishop was quoted, and let me read his comments. He wrote, "My disagreement stems partly from my understanding of the way in which I read the Bible, praying that the Holy Spirit will enlighten my understanding of what statements are unchangeable and what are conditioned by social and cultural norms of the time in which God spoke to those involved." Now, the question, as I said, was thoroughly answered. And so it's not just the Roman Catholic Church that questions the validity of Scripture, but also other mainstream churches. It seems to have happened historically, and so we shouldn't be surprised by this situation. But what does the Bible have to say on this matter? Well, let us look at some familiar scriptures that will show us the mind of God on this matter. The bishop that I referred to in our question and answer fell into the trap of cherry-picking those portions of scripture that suited his particular stance and ignoring those which he considered no longer applicable. This is a very dangerous thing to do because God clearly states in, and if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, the following. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Second Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all scripture, not the bits we want, not something else, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Who do we believe? God, the author of the Bible, or a fallible Anglican bishop, or a Roman Catholic bishop who represents the great false church, or anyone else who may have their own ideas about which bits in the Bible they like and which bits in the Bible they don't like. The problem with the social and cultural norms of the time approach that the bishop took is that it allows the culture of the day to become more important than God's clear instructions. And that's dangerous ground. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we read in Hebrews 13:8. And the word of God likewise is unchangeable. We can't cherry-pick scripture. We must take the Bible in its entirety, and that includes Paul's writings, which are now part of Scripture, and which cannot be dismissed as only applicable to his time. If we do take the approach that we can have this bit of Scripture, but discard this other bit in the Bible, we become the arbiters of what is right and what should be in the Bible. We have neither the ability to discern, nor do we have the authority. And as for casting doubt on certain books in the Bible, that is nothing new. Martin Luther, the 16th century German theologian, was frustrated by the works emphasis, as he saw it, in the book of James, calling it the epistle of straw and questioned its canonicity. He was also irritated with the complex symbolism of the book of Revelation and once said that it too was not canon and that it should be thrown into the river. Apparently he later retracted these comments, these statements, but it does show that leading figures have had their doubts about certain portions of the Bible that doesn't fit in with their own ideas. Let's turn over to Acts 24, verse 14, where we see that Paul had absolutely no doubts about the validity of God's word. Acts 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, and of course we heard in Mr. Mitchell's sermon the other day, all about the way of God. But this I confess to you, that the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Paul believed all things written in the law and prophets. There is no doubt here at all. Did he, one of the great men of the Bible, cast any doubt on Scripture? Well, not at all, and neither should anyone else who purports to be a Christian. The Catholic bishops emphasized in their paper the human dimension of Scripture. But the Bible has something to say on that aspect too. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. And here the bishops are given their answer. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 20. Second Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As one commentator said, he, that is Peter, wrote these words not long before his martyrdom. They emerge not only from his personal experience of being taught directly by Jesus Christ, but also from several decades of his Christian life afterwards. These words were tested by long years of living experience. Under God's inspiration, this is the true testimony of an authentic apostle of Jesus Christ. The bishops, all of them, are answered from Scripture. We know that when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, he answered not by human reasoning, but by quoting the Word of God. That's the way to do it. Not making up our own arguments that can come from fallible human reasoning and preconceived ideas, but straight from the Word of God. Here a little and there a little, as we have long understood that the Bible interprets itself for those with eyes to see. If you'll turn over to Revelation 22, and let us read a warning in verses 18 and 19. Revelation 22, verse 18. You would have thought that these words would have been taken to heart, but not so, apparently. 22, verse 18 says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." The message of the Bible is complete and needs no extra attention from anyone. Here is the most solemn warning, one of which is true of all the Word of God. And if you turn to Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, we get another answer from God's Word. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. It says clearly and succinctly, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. If you shall not add to it, nor shall you take away from it." What a rebuke this is to those who treat the message carelessly or think that they have answers or input over and above that which is clearly stated in the Word of God. All who would dare to corrupt or change the Word of God, either by adding to it or taking away from it, will bring upon themselves all the plagues written in this book, as it says. And he who takes anything away from it cuts himself off from all the promises and privileges that God promises his people in the future. We know that these bishops, both Anglican and Roman Catholic, are not being called now. Their fruits clearly show that they are not in step with the Word of God, but they will have their opportunity in God's due course, because God is fair. In the meantime, those of us who have been called into the true Church of God must make sure that we don't treat the Word of God lightly, and that we respect and revere all Scripture. Anything less, and we could be in trouble.